right, advertiser time. So, first off, our OG sponsor, Sinister Jerky. Use code KINGDOM, that's KINGDOM, at checkout at www.sinisterjerky.com. Grab yourself a nice little discount. And also, this podcast is powered by Balls Garara. Grab life by the balls. And with that said, let's go on to the podcast.
All right, welcome back to Castle Comms, episode 95. Today, we have the Chuckinator, the man who brought us the term, if you're not bringing two double-barreled shotguns into a Tarkov raid, then you're just fucking around. Chuckinator, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty great. Just working through the rainy days.
So, this Memorial Day weekend, you said you were getting some stuff ready to sell. Do you have any other plans for this Memorial Day weekend, or is it just going to be pretty much a lax weekend at home?
It's going to be pretty lax. It's just rainy over here on the East Coast, South Carolina area, so it's pretty, just not much to do because it's raining. But I'm just getting some PC set up to sell that I don't use anymore and stuff like that.
So, as a South Carolina Knight, other than having a crazy love for mustard-based barbecue sauces, are you guys, like, inconsolable about the Hurricanes' loss in the Eastern Conference Final of hockey, or could you give a shit less?
I don't actually watch a lot of sports, so I'm not super worried about it. Honestly, South Carolina doesn't really worry about that, because it's, like, I'm pretty sure the team's more, like, North Carolina. Just, like, we have the Panthers as the Carolina Panthers, but right. It's actually located in North Carolina. So everyone around here is kind of, like, a weird mix. Like, they don't have a specific team they follow, because most people from here are from, northern states.
But you guys do have the best college team in the nation, name-wise. Go Gamecocks!
Yeah, the Gamecocks and Clemson definitely do keep winning things. Definitely do very good, but also, I mean, you got all the rich northerners who come down to the south and they can afford to make sure the schools do things because their entry fees are insane.
Them like, goddamn insane. Northerners are infiltrating our beloved cocks.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much the reason why we have, like, we have three separate schools. It's crazy that we have two schools that are, like, the best in the country in the same state. Like, they're literally in the same state, so it's just crazy that they're that good, and it's both of them.
Now, did you go to any of those schools? Are you, like, from that area originally, or are you a transplant?
We moved from Maryland, but it was when I was, like, 3 or something, so I have always lived here. I didn't go to any of those schools because my family doesn't have money like that, because that's, like,
that's a big,
like, it's crazy.
Debt. Yeah.
Yeah, because we also have, like, Coastal Carolina, which apparently is starting to ramp up on
the ECU Pirates. Purple and gold.
Yeah, they're
Fuck
starting
yeah.
to actually do stuff. They're really starting to do stuff. Like, they haven't done anything, and now they're starting to get to the level where they might actually get into, like, the national, like, college stuff, because the team's actually doing well, because they're getting a lot more money.
That's
the tuition's extremely high.
Right. So, Chuckinator, with the gaming space where it's at, with, you know, Tarkov getting close to wipe, new mods being put out every day for games, Starship Troopers just dropping. What is your current go-to? What is your current gaming bay? Like, what is the game that you just look at while you're at work and your mind of minds and you're like, I can't wait to get home? Or does that game not exist for you currently?
Honestly, it's a couple games. I mean, like, Tarkov always just my main game. It's just, like, something I sit back on, and, like, no matter what, because I have, like, 7,000 hours. So at this point, it's like, you just, when you have that many hours, you just kind of play
You're
Tarkov.
Kind of committed.
Like, yeah, you kind of, just like I used to play EVE Online, and I have, like, I actually still open it to collect my dailies, and I've not played it recently at all, but I went pretty hard on that, and, like, literally had, like, 6 or 7 accounts. So when I play a game, I go pretty hard
on
it.
So when you were an EVE guy, were you, like, big into, were you a corporate man? Did you, like, strap up your mining boots every day to make money for the organization, or were you more of a, like, I'm here for PvP and fighting or exploration? Like, what was your EVE stance? Like, what kind of EVE player were you?
I wasn't, like, a big person in my organization. I was with Pandemic Horde. I mean, I'm still in that corporation because I recently started popping back into the game just to join fleets because I was a miner. I actually ran 5 or 6 accounts. I would have 4 or 5 of them mining. I ran my main account as a giant Warkle, like the in-game mining ship. So I'd boost for about a fleet of like 300 to 1,000 people at once.
Okay.
And then we jump to the next location, mine up that. Then whenever fleets popped up and we're ready, we just jump back, hop into our PvP ships and go do it. And you have like 2,000 to 3,000 people on the screen at once. It was crazy.
Was this the closest you ever got to living that gang life? You see somebody from like a rival org and you just lose your shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy once you get, like, really into it and you know what kind of what you're doing. I still, like, PvP is still, like, something I'm not, I can't really solo PvP just because most of the ships that do that are super expensive. Like, super expensive, even with my extreme amounts of funds that I just have sitting on my account. But pretty much it's just, like, you just have a chat and someone would be like, oh, there's a group of these people from here. Then you just have a fleet. You'd form a fleet and just fly over there and go fight them for like 20 minutes, or they'd run away, one or the other. And then you'd just wait till the next one. There was a lot of sitting in downtime unless you flew around hunting for people.
Right. Like, I never got so deep into that game where I was a corporate man. Like, you know, I would just like, I'd have like one man businesses, be like, oh, I'm a delivery boy. And I would just go around like delivering packages and shit and just like nude mining just for money and shit. And I will say yeah. that game is beautiful, man. Like the backdrops of that game are very pretty. It's very nice to just like, you know, put on a little bit of music and just mine and let your, you know, just fucking passively play that game. That's like something you can play while you're doing like other shit, like, oh, I gotta write a college paper, but I can also fucking mine some ore or some shit. For me, that's what that experience was like, but it sounds like yours is like as different as it could be.
Yeah, because and that's the crazy part about EVE. It's like, depending on how deep you get into it, there's gonna be a lot more work. Like, I was literally pretty much playing it as if it was a second job, because like I actually had it where I was getting paid around, like, $1 million or something every hour or so, something like that. I can't remember exactly how much it was. They paid me a decent amount, in-game money, to lead the fleets. Like, we'd actually have time slots. I would pick up 3 hours, and they'd pay me for that 3 hours, along with me making the money from mining, because since I had the in-game ship, I could boost the whole fleet and protect the whole fleet, and I would actually have to, like, do a bunch of extra stuff, like, make sure people were... I was in a communication channel with, like, some of our, like, fleets that could fly out and attack if somebody randomly attacked me. Because my ship was worth about 100 to 1,000 of the other ships that were flying around me. So it's like, if we lose one of that, it looks bad on the corporation.
So you were, like, actually pulling, like, a real-time security job.
Yeah, pretty much.
Did it ever feel like a job? Like, did you ever wake up like, oh, I gotta go fly in goddamn space today? Like, did it ever feel
like that? Sometimes it did. Because, like, they want to always have... Because, like, pretty much their mentality was, like, since it was a big corporation, it's like, you always want to have content for the people in your corporation to be doing. And if you aren't there to lead the fleet, then they have to have hope that someone else is on to do that so they can actually have content available. I mean, people would still go mine and stuff themselves, but... With us being outside of, like, because we were in what was called DualSec, so it's, like, PvP zone constantly. There's no protection from any NPC ships or anything like that. Right. It's just full-on empty space, and people can just fly around and go destroy whatever they want with no repercussions.
Or so, they could make all the drugs they want in that space spice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, like, you could just, I mean, if you're in an organization, you couldn't really do it very well, but you could literally just buy a ship station and just drop it anywhere out there. No one could tell you otherwise. That doesn't mean that, like, the corporation that, quote-unquote, owns the area or polices the area isn't just going to come there and destroy it because you're placing something in their space, though.
Right. But they got to react to it, and they probably will, because those guys are very on top of their shit. So, did you ever burn anybody in that game? Did you ever betray a contract? Did you ever steal goods or, like, you know, do some backhanded evil shit in that game?
Not particularly. There's definitely a lot of weird, like, stuff that I had heard of that was, like, I stopped for a period, then started again, and, like, apparently... There was this one, I can't remember the whole situation, but pretty much there was this one guy who, like, actually was part of another corporation, got into some other corporation, and was, like, spying it, and then he got so far up in it that he actually got access to all the assets of the corporation that he was spying in, and he just transferred the rights to the corporation he was in. He completely destroyed, like, a corporation full of thousands upon thousands of people, and just... pretty much made them not exist anymore because they just took all their stuff. It made them not have access to any of it. It was crazy.
How fat of a bounty did they put out on that guy after that?
I'm not sure. I know it legitimately had stuff where people were going after him in like IRL, like because it like the difference between Eve and a lot of other games is like the money can actually be equated to real money. Right. Like in essence, he pretty much stole a couple million. Like I'd say, I don't know if it was millions of dollars, but it was a couple $100,000 worth of assets of in game, like not in game money. Like that's actual like dollar American dollar amount. In comparison to the in-game money.
That's insane. Because you can just...
Yeah, it's... It was a big thing. Because, like, you gotta think people had been working years upon years to build that corporation. Then he just came up and stole it and transferred to the other thing. They didn't have anything to show for it at that point.
I'm just picturing a noir detective at a murder scene hitting a cigarette and being like, another one of these Eve-related murders.
Yeah, exactly.
When is it gonna stop, guys?
These dang gamers. They don't know when to stop.
Right. So when you were playing that game, did you role play a character or did you just play it as Chuckinator full and full?
I didn't really role play a character or anything like that. I just kind of played the game. Now, when I play Galactic Contention, I have gotten to where I don't really like playing with clones. I don't know why. It's just more enjoyable to like fight clones than fight droids, but also because I use a...
Is that because clones
I use
bleed?
A voice changer. I don't know what it is. It's just something about, like shooting clones. I don't know what it is. I'm like a super Star Wars buff, and until you watch, like, the recent Clone Wars, it's just like, you just like, oh, the clones are evil. But if you watch the actual, like, Clone Wars series, then you...
The Clone
like,
Wars
you
series
see what's
so
actually
good.
Going on.
It actually it's made you so give good. A shit about the clones, which is funny because you actually gave a shit about the clones, and then you turned and be like, I want to kill them.
Yeah, like, they just murdered everybody. I don't understand why, because it doesn't explain that at all inside the movie. But then, like, you watch the Clone Wars, and it explains why all that happened, and you're just like, clarity. Whoa.
Right.
This is crazy.
So as a fan of the Star Wars cinematic universe and gaming universe and whatnot, who is your favorite non, you know, main arc Jedi? Or, you know, even if he is in the main arc or she's in the main arc, like, has, like, a small role to play. Like, do you have one?
I mean, I did come onto Star Wars games, like, with, like, in the pretty early games. And along with that, The Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Republic 2 are still my favorite games, hands down, ever.
Oh, those are classics.
Just because I love Star Wars, the lore that's involved, and everything. So, like, obviously, I'm gonna be like a huge Darth Revan fan, but Darth Revan. But honestly, Cal Kestis in the new games he's really good. I don't know if you played the new Star Wars Jedi games, but they're really
not...
good, and his character is really good, and his arc of like his character changing and what like. His character development is really good.
I've seen a lot of gameplay and I've seen a lot of streams, and I love how a lot of people are playing him as like an American because he's got like the gnarly mustache and facial hair and mullet combo.
That's what I did. I have a mullet. I had the mullet with the handlebar mustache, and then I switched to the it's like not a bandana. I can't think of what's maybe it is bandana. It's like karate people have wrapped around their head. I can't think of what they're called.
Oh, yeah, the sweatband thing.
Yeah, he has like a sweatband on, and then he has like it's like a mullet in a sweat with a sweatband on with a handlebar mustache, and that's what I have on my guy.
Just watching the way people roleplay, like, I'm Cal Coors Light Kestis. And
yeah.
The red, white, and blue gun. And the lightsaber.
I'm just hyped to see that I would be very interested to see them do an actual live action with the actor in it, because he actually did like all the mocap stuff, so he knows how to do the hand motions and everything, so I feel like
it would feel like a waste to not bring Cal Kestis to the Disney Plus, you know, series that they're pulling out with all this Star Wars stuff, because he's definitely a loved character. It's like, I don't know. The Boba Fett one fell flat. I didn't watch the new season of Mandalorian. But the ones I did watch were good. Like, the first two were good, and then it's like, oh, yeah, Luke takes the kid, and it's just like, I stopped caring after that. But it'd be cool to see them bring back some characters like Ezra. I know that they are going to make, apparently, a new movie with, it's like Heir to the Empire, and they have that,
yeah.
Like, what the fuck's his name? Admiral, the blue guy with the red eyes.
I know exactly who you're talking about, but I can't actually remember what his name is either. I know exactly who you're talking about because he's actually, I just got to the point in, because I started watching Rebels recently, I just got to the point where he gets introduced and starts being in the show, but I haven't finished Rebels, so it's like, I don't know that much about him, but I know he's
played
a big
by
part of that.
Cumberbatch on the show, isn't he? Or they're talking about Cumberbatch playing him in the live action, something like that, because I know his like whole thing is he's like a void space, like, you know, ship combat master, and his tactics are like renowned. So I'm assuming they're gonna get some like, you know, smarty pants guy to play him.
Yeah, it's Thrawn. That's what it is. It's General Thrawn. He's blue. He has red eyes. It's that guy.
He's blue.
he was a very big part of Rebels. Like I said, I just got into the beginning of where that comes out. But Heir of the Empire, like, the big thing about Thrawn is apparently, because I never really read all the Star Wars books. I've been looking into ordering a bunch of them.
Comic books or actual paperback novels?
Both.
Did you see the one with Jar Jar Binks' dad who tries to kill himself because he hates Jar Jar so much?
Yeah.
That one was fucked. It's just like, well, yeah, Jar Jar did kind of destroy everything, and I get it.
Yeah, I mean, he just destroys everything, but he's just like, oh, well, now I'm making up for it later by destroying other people's things that aren't on my team. It's like, guys, just send him over to the other side, and then he'll accidentally not die and break everything they have.
Did you see the redemption arc for the actor that played Jar Jar Binks that they recently gave them? I don't know if it was in Mandalorian, because I haven't seen the new season, but the actor that played Jar Jar, apparently after, he was, like, super depressed because, like, everybody hated his character, and, like, a lot of people said Jar Jar was, like, the worst thing to happen to Star Wars. So, yeah, that guy was bummed. He's like, man, my contribution, everybody fucking hates. So they made him, like, a Jedi during, like, 66, who's like a badass who helps people escape during a scene. It's like some newer thing that came out. I saw something about it. I didn't follow up because I haven't had a chance yet. Do you know what I'm talking about, or am I just talking out of my ass?
I'm pretty sure you are correct. It might have been inside of the Visions thing, but I'm not fully sure because when it comes to that, Jar Jar Binks, I mean, obviously the character didn't. I mean, Jar Jar Binks had makeup on, so I had to look up what the actual actor looked like.
Right.
But there's definitely an actor inside of the new Mandalorian that does look like that might be where they put him into. But it also could have been in any of the new the series, because honestly, they still have, like, Bad Batch just came out in the second season, and then you have a couple other new shows coming out along with that.
Bad Batch was fun. I wonder why Pedro walked away from Mandalorian. Is it just because he's too busy making Last of Us and he wants to do, like, actual more serious, like, you know, facial roles? Because it's hard to be facial when you have a fucking helmet on.
The reasoning that I've read is because he's not needed to be there.
I mean, that's kind of true.
Like, because he doesn't take his helmet off. He just does the voice lines now.
Oh. Apparently. I mean, but fair enough. That's absolutely fair. That's like if Fast and the Furious, if Vin Diesel was just the voice, there'd be no reason to have him on the set, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it really just is pointless to have him there because he's just not needed. His face doesn't show. In the first season, it made kind of sense, but the second season, as far as I remember, he doesn't take off his helmet a single time. And the whole time.
Well, it's against his weird religious cult thing. And then even when he's told, be like, yeah, only weirdos do that shit, he still does it. He's like, well, I'm a fucking weirdo then.
Oh. He is the voice of Senator Organa in the Rebel series. That's what it was.
Okay.
So
that makes sense.
That's what the Jar Jar Binks guy was. So that's apparently where they brought him back.
Oh, Jar Jar. So
yeah, and that's like recent. Oh, he's in the Bad Batch too.
If you could have any spinoff from any Star Wars story point to actually get its own time in the sun, whether it be a movie or a series, who would it be? What would it consist of?
I mean, honestly, they're gonna probably come out with it, but I wouldn't mind seeing as you haven't seen the second season of Mandalorian, you probably won't fully understand, but like, now I'm at the point where I'd like to see a Grogu series, but not with Mandalorian, but like also when he's like 100 years ahead of the time when he's like old as fuck. because that's
well, Yodas live forever. Yoda's generation. I don't know what Yoda's species are. I'm just going to refer to them as Yodas. If any Star Wars fans think that's racist, I'm sorry, but Yodas live forever.
Yeah, I mean, because just like they had another. They have this other series where it covers how Count Dooku became pretty much his falling arc, and it has another Yoda character who was also in Clone Wars.
Because so, Dooku was Yoda's Padawan, wasn't he?
I think it was. He's not Yoda's Padawan. It's whoever the Yoda species character that was in the Clone Wars. I can't remember Yoda species characters.
So I take it you played the Knights of the Old Republic game. It's the RPG with Dark Revan, because you made reference to it earlier. So was your Revan good or bad?
I did both. I actually played the game. I played the game like at least 7 or 8 times.
Well, you got to see all the endings. You got to romance everybody you can romance. You got to do everything. You know how it is. I'm not going to fucking pretend I didn't do that shit too.
It's Yaddle. That's the lady's name. It's Yaddle. Yaddle. It's a Yaddle is the was Count Dooku's person. She actually like started going to the dark side herself, and that's why she understands that it's an issue, and she explains how she went through that and then came back on the proper side of it.
Dooku and his little bent wiener like lightsaber man, like everything about that character just seems so prissy and annoying and arrogant. Even in Clone Wars.
Yeah. It's because pretty much how it works is he became a acolyte, or he, because it's weird, he was already a Jedi Master. Then it's weird how it comes with the Sith, because when you're Jedi Master as the Jedi, you could still end up being just a Padawan or an apprentice of a Sith, because the Sith's power level is so much higher that it's like, you barely know anything because of how the Jedi Order works and all that. All
there's no restraints. So just, there's no limiter. Yeah. There's like, hey, you can be as powerful as you're allowed to have. Exactly. Whereas the Jedi's, there's always rules. Like, hey, no fucking, Anakin. Don't you be fucking.
Yeah. And like, they're like, yeah, you can go do that. But because like any of those emotions will give you more power, but the reason why Jedi don't do that is because they're worried about those emotions overpowering you.
How funny would it have been if Obi-Wan was clapping that one girl from Mandalore while at the same time, like, giving Anakin shit about Padme? If he was, like, full hypocrite, how funny would that be?
It'd be crazy. And you gotta think this way. That just means that even in the Obi-Wan series, Obi-Wan's still a virgin. So,
I mean, yeah. I mean, true.
You have power through virginity.
Does that mean that Jedi can't jack off?
I don't know. I feel like since they have no emotion, they probably wouldn't. They wouldn't want to.
I bet there's loopholes, like, you know, like those super Christian people who are like, "Oh, fuck me in the butt, because it won't count." I bet there's like, "Hey, if you force jack me off, then it won't count."
Yeah, use the force to do it. There's no actual interaction.
It's okay if it's in the force hole.
It's in the force hole. Come to my dark side.
Right, you could have a whole fucking weird. I'm sure that exists on Pornhub. Don't look that up, anybody, or maybe do
59 or 54 or whatever it is. If it's thought of, there's porn about it.
Oh, absolutely. Somebody's got some weird force jacking off video with Kid Fisto. It's a thing, probably.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, exactly.
Oh, we're getting off the rails, and I'm all for it. So, Chuckinator, what color would your lightsaber be, and why?
So, like, I mean, do you want it lore-wise or just, like, because of my favorite color choice?
You could do both, man. Like, this is your fucking episode. You tell me what you want to tell me.
So, I always love the backstory of the purple lightsaber, and also the color purple as a lightsaber, because it just looks really cool. And then, of course, like, Samuel Jackson was just like, yo, what lightsaber am my lightsaber going to be? And then he just told him, I want it to be purple. I just want a purple lightsaber. I want to be able to see myself in the Clone Wars scene where all the Jedi are fighting off. Because you can. Like, he explained that. He's like, yeah, I want a purple lightsaber because I want to be able to see myself in the giant Clone Wars battle at that big when they're fighting all the Geonosians and shit like that, and all totally. The monsters are out.
I mean, that makes sense.
You can plus, see him. You can see him on screen because it's only purple lightsaber.
Dude, Mace Windu had the most shit death of any, like, big-time Jedi. Who's just like, he got pushed out a window. This is so dumb.
No, that would be an interesting, like, side story. Like, because at that point, that is the exact point Order 66 is going through and the Jedi start falling. So it's possible for me to think that he didn't die from that. There's no way he died from that.
I would hope not.
Maybe they just haven't found the proper time to, like, randomly add him back into the universe.
Like, I've
or something.
Seen
because, that. Like, he just got electrocuted out a window. Like,
I've seen art that, like, you know, like, hints that, where he's, like, all burnt, and, like, one of his eyes is, like, blind. It's, like, you know, completely, like, you know, covered over. But, you know, if the guy from Rebels could be a Jedi blind, Mace Windu should have no problem with, like, doing this shit with one eye. He was one of the strongest Jedis ever. He fucking took Sidious down, man. He was, like, about to kill him. I mean, shit, that guy just one-tapped Kid Fisto and all those other guys who, like, came to arrest him, which is hilarious. He's like, hey, let's go arrest the senator. Give me the 5 weakest Jedi we have.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, it's crazy because it's, like, in that moment, he actually is invoking the dark side because he was wanting to just, I'm just going to kill him right now. He's too evil. He's a Sith Lord. He is too evil for us to keep him alive. And, I mean, then you have Darth Maul who just gets chopped in half and he returns in the Clone Wars series, and it's just like,
how did he survive that fall? What? Like, that was my thing. It's just like, okay, he could survive, like, getting cut in half, and he got no legs, Lieutenant Dan. You're telling me he could survive getting cut in half, being completely eviscerated, and falling from, like, crazy height.
And then you got Mace Windu, who's just like, I got zapped and thrown out a window.
Right.
And he wasn't even damaged for it. It wasn't like he was, like, damage. It was like you just got electrocuted and thrown out of Wimbo. I said Wimbo.
Wimbo.
Window.
So, yeah. See, the thing about, like, the thing about it is after he gets cut in half, they show him again with the robotic legs at the end of Solo. And it's just like, you guys have to expand upon this, because if people didn't watch Clone Wars, they don't know that he survived and all this other shit. And at the end of Rebels, it shows Obi-Wan. Spoiler for those of you who didn't watch Rebels, it shows him and Obi-Wan's final fight on Tatooine, where Obi-Wan fucking kills him finally. I want to see that fight in person. I want to see that fight be an actored situation. And I don't know why that hasn't fucking happened yet. And I brought that up on one of those, like, Twitter, like, things about Star Wars, and I got completely shit on by the nerdy fan base who's like, it already happened. And be like, yeah, but I want to see it, like, not be cartoons. And then, like, fuck you. Like, come on. This is so cool. Yeah, you wouldn't, like, want to see this?
When they brought, like, they did the Obi-Wan series where they have, if you've seen that, they had them fight, like, Darth Vader and him reconnect, and he's just like, honestly, all I gotta say is that Darth Vader, like, I like all the Star Wars movies, but Darth Vader and anything outside of the original Star Wars movies is so much more intense and boss than anything else.
Yeah, like, he's, like, he completely cool nerfed during the series, but in the video games, he's like, no, he's committing genocide, guys.
Yeah, I mean, in, like, Rebels and, what's it called? In the Clone Wars, he seemed really badass. It's just, like, it's weird looking at the older movies. I mean, they can only do so much with CGI and everything else back in, like, the OG, like, the 4 through 6, where he is Darth Vader and Luke's involved and stuff like that. He is badass, and he does have an imminence. But honestly, yeah, him in the games is, like just like gnarlier. In the newest games, bro, he goes off. Or in that Obi-Wan series, he went off. He was going so, like, hard.
Well, and to be fair, just, like, if you lost Natalie Portman, would you be that pissed too? I know I would be. I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, and it's just being like, it's like his anger has just, like, emulsified into, like,
just cutting up the sand people. Hatred. I had V is for Vendetta and I lost her.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, he's also because, like, he knew he was aware she was pregnant. He assumed his children were dead for the longest period of time.
See, this wouldn't have happened if they would have done it in the Force hole.
Yeah, exactly. You wouldn't have had two children. And then, honestly, then we've only had, like, three movies, and then it would have ended there.
Right? Right. And just, like, the one thing I don't understand about Star Wars is the consistent thread of people just, like, throwing up their hands and quitting. It's like, oh, yeah, Luke. He's like, oh, yeah, my dad's still redeemable, even though he did all this crazy shit. He's like, oh, my nephew had a bad dream? Fuck him, I'm gonna kill him. Oh, I couldn't kill him. Guess I'm gonna go drink blue milk out of a walrus teat later, guys. It's like, what? Or Yoda.
Yeah, he just has, like, they gave him such a weird psych. I mean, I understand, because it was like, oh, I almost killed my own nephew because I saw the evil junk pop up in him for, like, a second, and it scared me. And then I'm like, bro, like, all these people making these shows really need to go play the old Star Wars games where he actually had his Jedi temples and stuff so they can understand more about Luke.
Even Luke was like, the actor was like pissed. He's like, this isn't the Luke I played when I was younger. This is so fucking weird. But he's like, but I guess it's not for me. It's for the younger generation. It's like, it could have been so much better. I don't understand why they went the direction they went. Or like Yoda, for example, when, like, you know, he gets the whole Senate thrown at him. He's like, oh, time to go into exile. It's like, you could have led the resistance. You could have done, nope, you're just going to go in the swamp and eat frogs. Okay. And make a song about seagulls pecking your head. Let's do it.
Yeah, it's really, honestly, when I think of that, it really does just, it doesn't make any sense. But I mean, also, I think he was just tired. He's just like, I'm fucking tired. I'm way
too
tired.
Well, then just say
that,
Yoda. If you want to retire and go to fucking Space Boca, just say that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just going to chill on this swamp planet, and then any Jedi who gets led here, I will hopefully lead through the swamp trials of the swamp.
Let's be real, he didn't want anyone to find him. Like, once he saw that X-Wing, he was like, oh, god damn it. That's why he died so quickly. He probably popped, like, a cyanide capsule. Like, I've had enough.
Honestly, would be now that I think about it, I would be interested in seeing a side series of. I mean, it's kind of hard because, like, honestly, like, a lot of these characters are having, like, do have side series at this point. It's they've made they so do. Much stuff. I was about to say, like, R2-D2 and C-3PO, but it's like they I'm pretty sure they popped up in Rebels anyway, so, like, you do see them there. So. But yeah, mostly I'd really like to see Grogu. I'd like to see Grogu, like, they're probably going to do it at some point, but, like, him, like, 100 years in the future, like, and see what happens there. Because, like, they're, like, kind of on the outer rim, so it's not directly involved with all the stuff that's happening in the main area where, like, all the other planets are, aside from when they go visit those planets. But it's still, like, just, it'd be cool to see them become, like, a weird, like, boss secondary Yoda thing and not be like influenced. It's just interesting to see how things progress when they aren't influenced by the Jedi Order, because The Jedi Order is just like has bland rules, very boring, and like things that are involved with it are very bland and boring. That's why I really like Cal Kestis, because he is not influenced by the Order through his whole actual Jedi not Jedi processing.
Right. He's, well, like, he's like a free. I mean, yeah, he isn't really. He doesn't answer the order anymore. Like, he watched the order dissipate. He watched everybody die. He's just like, you know, he got his shit back. He's learning all his powers again. He's like, you know what? I'm not gonna fuck the Force hole. I'm gonna do it normal. And now that's what we got. We got Cal Kestis hitting raw.
Yeah, it's really, really crazy seeing, like I said, he has great character development. He's an amazing, like, addition to the universe, like, and just like, I saw him finish the Jedi Survivor, and it's just like, I'm so hyped to actually finish it. I just keep forgetting to go back and play it because I've been playing like other Star Wars games.
So, from somebody who's played those games, would you say the Mandalorian, like the actual Boba Fett, like cameo in Jedi Survivor, was actually better than the entire Boba Fett series?
I don't know. I know he pops up. I have it because you have the whole bounty hunter hunting, like, side quest line. So I never, like, I haven't gone that far because I just haven't done that quest line yet. I've seen, like, people posting, like, their TikToks and shorts and stuff of him popping up. So I haven't seen the exact, like, scene, but I know that he's going to be there.
Right.
I didn't watch the scene. I just knew he's going to be there.
You're just not in that part of the game yet.
Yeah, I'm not in that part of the game yet because I've been mostly trying to do the story, and then I'm going to just do all the side stuff after. I mean, I just recently finished the Boba Fett thing, and I thought it was okay. I was just like, this is, like, unnecessary, like...
Underwhelming.
Stuff. It's like, none of this actually ties into anything, so I don't understand. I mean, okay, so watching through it and then watching into this the new Mandalorian season, the new Mandalorian season is pretty good. It's more that it's just different because it changes the aspect of who is the main part of the series, if that makes sense.
Right.
It's like, it's not just like, oh, Mandalorian and Grogu. It's like, oh, it's like a bunch of, it's like Mandalorians at this point, technically.
Right. It's more so, Mandalore is becoming a character, just kind of like how in Batman, yeah, Gotham exactly. is a character in that story.
Yeah, exactly. And then I don't know. I enjoyed it. It just seemed like it wasn't really a Boba Fett show. It was like, oh, here's a couple episodes of Boba Fett doing things with Tusken Raiders, which was cool. I like Tusken Raiders. Tusken Raiders always... I don't know what it is about Tusken Raiders, but I just love me some Tusken Raiders. They go hard. But
those weird stick
It's mostly
things.
Just like, yeah. You know?
That just sounds like a walrus, like on a beach, you know? It's just like, oh, there they are. There's the Tusken.
Yeah, I watched like a recent thing about that, and apparently some guy just made noises. And they were like, yep, we're just going to keep that.
Just the annoying guy on the set. They're just like... Get that yeah, man
like, they didn't have any lines. It's just like there's no lines for it, and so they like just had to like make noises, and they just kept it apparently. But I just thought it was more like, oh, here's a couple episodes of this, but also this is just leading into the next season of Mandalorian. This is just set up for the next Mandalorian.
That's definitely somebody's grandpa's like name to fame. Is like, oh, I was the Tusken Raider voice.
Yeah, I was the Tusken Raider voice. It's like I didn't realize that I think they do some of the Wookiee noises legitimately now, like people do it, but like in the older movies, it literally was just like recorded tracks of like lions and like walruses and shit.
That makes sense. I could see that. And then you get the people who actually made that into a language. Like it's like a written language now. It's just like, well, how did you learn this? Why? Just like the people who like learn Klingon and people are getting like married in Klingon on the Star Trek side of the fence.
Well, that's because they, like, Star Trek had, like, okay, so I will say Star Wars is really good. I never really got into Star Trek, but what people did with Star Trek and what the people who made Star Trek did is insane, because I'm pretty sure they had a full-on linguist create that whole language to have it for the show. Just, like, there's another show that did that. I think it's, like, it's either The Witcher or, It's some fantasy show. They did, like, the Elven language or something like that. They literally got linguists in that to do a whole language for it. But it wasn't Elven. It was something like that.
So, speaking of The Witcher, with Henry Cavill leaving, are you going to continue to toss a coin to your Witcher? Are you going to continue to support the Netflix series? Or with him bowing out, is it kind of over for you?
I don't know, because as far as I know, I don't think they started production on him being out. This next season is going to be the last one with him, but they're actually, because the uproar, they are thinking of not having The Witcher in the series and just having it, like, branch off to other characters.
But how can you have a show called The Witcher and with no Witcher?
I mean, it's just like a...
That's like having Girls Gone Wild with nobody going wild.
Well, they do have, it's more, I think they're more thinking that if they kept, like, some of the other Witcher characters, it still has Witchers in it. Like, I know Ciri's in it, so maybe they're going to be saying that she's going to be the next Witcher inside for the series or something like that. They don't know what they're doing. I just know that they haven't started production on the one with the other guy, as far as I know. Or they have, but they're still, like, I just know I saw a bunch of stuff about them thinking of three different ones. They're like, we can either have the new guy be the Witcher, we can cancel the show, or we can just do side shows of this, because technically, as far as I understand it, they have a contract with Netflix, so it's like, oh, well, we have to make this whatever amount of seasons that we have a contract with Netflix for.
Right. Right. No, totally.
It's like Big Mouth. I don't know if you've seen Big Mouth, but that show just constantly just they have so many seasons now, and they have even more seasons coming because that's
watched
how Netflix
a little
works.
Bit of it.
And just, they make them.
But for me, it was just weird. Be like, these are like little kids. Like for me, it was awkward. It was like, I don't want to watch this. This is no, thank you. I know some people love it and some people swear by it, but for me, it was just a hard concept for me to get around. It's like it's kind of gross, but for me.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand it being a little weird and uncomfortable. I just, like, I know I was a fucking heathen when I was like, in middle school and high school. I was a heathen. So, I'm like, oh, some of this stuff I've had experience with.
When you say a heathen, what do you mean by that? Do you mean just, like, a little deviant, a little degenerate? Or do you mean, like, you know, like, praying and drinking blood? Praying to the moon and drinking blood?
I mean, I just, like, I partied a lot. Like, I was a gamer, but I partied a lot. Like, I partied a lot more than I probably should have. Like, I did not care about school. I was really smart. I just did just knew exactly how much work I had to do. Actually, I didn't do any of my homework ever. I passed fully through high school and middle school by just getting 100% on all my tests because I just didn't like school homework. I thought it was dumb. I'm like, I don't need this to teach me how to do this. I get 100% on my tests. Why do I need to do homework? Homework is literally the only point of homework is to keep you practicing for the tests, so you know the knowledge. But if I know the knowledge, I don't need to do the homework. But also, I was too busy goobing around and not doing my work.
Fair.
I was like, I have better shit to do after school. Oh, but yeah, relax. I was just like, I just partied a lot and stuff and like did a bunch of things. Like, I would tell my parents I was places and not be at those places. I was, yeah. So a lot of stuff that happens in the show is just like, oh yeah, I did dumb stuff like this.
That's relatable.
But some of it definitely is a little much. Like it's a little much. You have to have that, like, understand, like, be into that kind of humor.
Right. They definitely know where the line is, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna cross it on occasion.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely know how to cross the line. That is for sure.
Right. So, is there any show that you're looking forward to that hasn't come out yet, or is there like a new season for something that you're looking forward to that you haven't seen? Like, what's on your radar currently?
I mean, I watch Demon Slayer as it comes out every weekend. I'm looking forward to the new Soka series. I don't give myself enough time to watch a lot of things as often. Like I said, I'll watch that episode that comes out every Sunday of that, and that's about it. I'm just too busy playing games and trying to get videos and editing stuff, and I have a girlfriend, so I make sure to set aside time to go hang out with her. And
absolutely,
so it's so, more grind than anything now.
When it comes to content creation, are you leaning more towards short form content, making long form content, or just streaming? Like, what is your goal for upcoming goal if you don't already have one for streaming or for content creation, I should say.
I'm more focusing on YouTube now. Streaming is just like, it just takes up a lot of my editing time, to put it simply. Like, I'll stream specific games. Like, every single Sunday, I stream Stalker because that's the biggest following I have for YouTube. I only have 400 followers and stuff, so it's still a grind, but most of those followers are from my Stalker video because I've made some guides on those. It got me to my 100K views so far on YouTube. So, I stream that every Sunday. I have regular people come in and see that. On Twitch and for Tarkov and stuff, I stopped streaming for a while to start working again and then kind of lost the, like, momentum I had for Tarkov, but I'm waiting till this wipe, gonna see how the game is, and then I'll probably start streaming Tarkov, like, really regularly and really hard, and I'll start making guides and stuff which I'm currently working on as well for the beginning of next wipe to get that foot in the door for that wipe, because I've played Tarkov this long and just never really made that many guides. It's just I've more recently gotten a grip or handle on how I want to set up my videos, what I want to do, and stuff like that. So it's more I'm just focusing on making a mixture of long form and short form content. I'm going to start visiting on it because I'm now in the process of joining this org, so I'll actually have a group of people to regularly play with, because that game's fun. But it's way more fun if you have, like, a fleet of dudes going out and doing stuff at once.
Agreed.
And just like Tarkov, sometimes being alone is really cool because you can get, like, a 5 or 6 kill grab, and then you're like, oh, cool, I'm going to just post me killing 5 dudes. That was great. But it's a lot more fun when you have, like, people with you to do that. So I'm waiting until the wipe happens. Going to probably do a Sherpa series for a couple of my buddies because they're still in their – it'll be their second wipe. So they'll know things, but, like,
But when it comes to like mechanic bullshit with gunsmith or, you know, little odds and ends, it's not bad to have somebody in, like, you know, close to your spear who like knows how to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So in short form, it's just more short form just only comes as I get it. I mean, sometimes you get a good clip and I'll edit it, throw some things on top of it, and then I'll post it. For long form, I am just in the process of making a couple of, like, videos on the Galactic Contention mod, because if anyone has squad, you should definitely play it, because Galactic Contention is great. Literally, like, Battlefront 3 we deserved, because the Battlefront games through EA were okay, but it wasn't Battlefront, in my opinion. It was like a Battlefield game with a Star Wars skin on it. Like, Squad, it's, like, similar to Battlefront. You have a certain amount of tickets and, like, equipment points and stuff like that that you have for the whole game, and you use those. But also, it's, like, 50 people on each team. There's a bunch of vehicles flying around. You have to logistically have them drop off equipment. You can build shields for your, like, little bases you set up everywhere. It's really cool and really in-depth. And they have so many cool, like, vehicles and stuff you can use in there, too. And they're still updating it. There's, like, 12 or 15 maps.
That's pretty really awesome. Good. So when it comes to, yeah, you said you preferred the droids. Like, now what kind of droid troop do you normally pick? Do you normally pick, like, the Techno Union big boy with, like, the hand cannon? Do you usually do, like, the standard droid troop? Or do you do the little roly-poly guys with the built-in shields? Like, what's your droid troop of choice?
So I actually jump around. I will say they don't have droid Ekkas, but I can see why, because it's a dude with a shield and, like, four guns. So you'd literally just be wrecking everybody and nobody able to do anything about it. I think they probably tried it. Or it might be the movement, because they don't walk, really. They kind of roll everywhere.
Yeah, they roll, yeah.
And since there's a lot of mountains and stuff, normally, like, you wouldn't have... They wouldn't be throwing out your droid Ekkas to go run over a mountain. It's like, those protect, like, in areas, so you don't have those an option. There is the battle droids, the ones that, like, are... Silver, they're, like, bulky, and they have, like, a wrist rocket and a, like, pretty much a Gatling gun on their arm. You do get some of the assassin droids that are, like, those, like, kind of gray ones with, like, the more curved face and have more curved architecture. You get Magna Guard, which is cool, because they do have a shield, and apparently they have a strong melee. Not a shield. Cloaking. They can cloak themselves, so you can, like, sneak up into people's bases and stuff, which is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
But most of the time, I just hop around. Depends on what I want to do. Like, if I know there's a tank in the area, I'll hop on a tank character. Because, like, since it's squad, there's every class is different. So it's like you have, like, a hot heavy anti-tank. You have the regular light anti-tank. You have the battle droids. You have a grenader class. You have sniper. You have a jetpack guy. Most of the time, I'm using jetpack guy. A lot of time, I do use a jetpack guy, because you can just kind of fly up on top of something and kind of lay down and just, like still snipe at people. Even though you don't have the scope, as long as they're close by, most of them won't look up. They'll think they're getting, if they're already getting attacked, you can just, like, kind of peg them in the head real quick from above.
So, right,
like, real sneaky.
So, but, I saw you posted some videos of, like, aerial bombardments. So when you call those in, are those player, or is those big ships, are those player driven, or is that like an AI thing? Like, you hit, say, I'm to hit that, and then the ship gets into position and bombards the shit out of it.
So it's the second one. It is. Like, how squad works is there's a commander that is voted on every game. And whoever gets the commander will have extra roles, because, like, you have voice chat for your squad, then you have voice chat for local, and then you have voice chat to the commander. Only squad leaders can talk to the commander and request fire support or request, like, a vehicle, because you can't just take any vehicles. You have to, like, get the click on it, and then your squad leader will ask commander to claim it, and the commander will let you take the vehicle. Because, I mean, logistically, you don't want some dude who doesn't have to ride a tank... Or is it a squad of infantry just having a tank? You want to have one dedicated person to the tank. But so, how that stuff works is the commander will set a location, and it will have an NPC ship will just fly over and then just bombard an area. Because it's like when you get a kill streak in, like, COD or something, and it's like if you do, like, this, the,
like, a Harrier jet pops up or a helicopter.
Yeah, stuff like that, but it how they have the bombing runs, it's like a straight line will pop up on the map, and that will be the area that's going to be bombed. You'll only see that for if your team's the bombarder, then you'll see it. They also have one that's like a circle that bombards a circle for a longer period of time, and I'm not sure what... Oh, you can call these, like, crab droids, which are, like, these like no one controls them. They're just like an NPC droid, and they have like four legs, and they're kind of big. And they just have, they just walk, there's like three or four of them, they just walk around and shoot any of the enemies that are around where they get placed. Because it's like the, and the clones and stuff have that also. So like, you'd have like commandos and generally the equal classes as droids do. But like, they have like a commando group that gets dropped down. Or, I don't know what exactly the Tusken Raiders get, but there is a Tusken Raiders map that it's a Tusken Raiders versus Tusken Raiders, which is kind of cool.
Oh, it's Raiders, Raiders v Raiders. That's actually awesome. I didn't even know.
Yeah,
that was
and they
a
all
thing.
Have like Mosins. It's really weird. They have like Mosins and like these slightly adjusted SA-58s, and then I think an AK. But they're like, there's the models of the guns are slightly adjusted to look like laser guns. It's really cool.
Interesting. So when you call in these strikes as a droid, do you like role play? Do you go Roger, Roger, and like put that shit in, or do you just go with it normally?
So it just depends. If it's one of ours, like they like honestly, you don't get notified unless they're telling you and they know it's happening, or someone knows it on the map. Because honestly, it just makes this loud alarm, and then the ship flies over and just starts bombarding. So if you're in the path and the ship's flying right above you, like towards you, you're like, oh, I should probably move. This is probably a good time to move away from this orbital bombardment that is about to drop on me. And I actually have like a clip of that that's gonna be in a video that should be releasing tomorrow. I just gotta edit a little bit more things, because like literally me and this guy are sitting on top of this like giant space flower on this one planet, and we see it straight coming towards us, and it's like, oh, that's not good. And he's like, yeah, nope, that's not good at all. And then I just kind of run out of the scope of it, just barely enough to get away from it. But so, it's really crazy, because you're like running from it. It's like literally bombing on you. And there's a couple, like you can get undercover, and sometimes it works, sometimes it won't. It just depends. Sometimes
how concussive is the bombardment? Does it feel like the whole world's exploding around you? Do you have to like take off your headset? You're like, this is too loud for me. I can't.
I don't keep my game very loud for that game, just because of how loud things, and also how loud chat can get randomly. But it's definitely, if you're, like, in a building or, like, undercover where it's hitting, it, like, your screen shakes to the point where you can't do anything. Like, it is an intense amount of shaking, because a lot of this stuff is, like, pulled from, like, similar, because Squad has stuff like that, too. It's, like, you can call in airstrikes, or it's just, like, not lasers. Because obviously it's not Star Wars,
right?
So like a lot of that stuff's taken there. So it works the same way as those. Like, because you can call in artillery or bombardments for inside a squad. So like you could be like in the desert in like one of those clay, or I can't think of what the material's called, but it's like clay, and it's like made of sand, clay and sand put together, and that's what the houses are made of. You can get one of those, and then like when a bombing run happens, it's
annihilates.
It's pretty legit. It's really legit.
That's awesome. So, with the Star Wars mod, was there anything that is not included in the game that you want to see moving forward?
I kind of will say that it feels really good where it's at. The lats and stuff, like the Clone Wars, like ships, the ones the clones use, they like have the laser, like the balls on the side that like shoot the lasers. Those kind of are really laggy, and they act weird. I wish those were a little bit smoother, because some of the stuff, I mean, obviously it's a mod, so not everything's going to run smooth and desync and lag and all that other stuff, server catching up to all the explosion stuff happening. Sometimes that can't be fixed. I mean, there's a lot of things that would be cool to be in it, but I definitely would see why they'd be OP and aren't. Like Jedis. Like, they don't have Jedi. You can't be a Jedi. I would assume more because, like, the coding of making that work would just be horrendous, and it'd just be way too OP.
Right.
Like, way too OP.
So, the clone troopers, for every, do different clans get to customize how their clone trooper looks? Like, in Clone Wars, we saw, like, different units had, like, different coloring and different kind of, like, accent marks. Now, is that a thing in the game for each side?
That is not a thing in the game. I will say for certain maps, there is different skins that they may have or may be wearing. Like, I know the droids, if you're, like, on, like, a jungle map, they'll have, like, a jungle skin. On the desert ones, they just have their normal one, because obviously they're just tan, so they don't need it. And I think on the snow map, I can't remember. I think they do have some slight, like, color differences, but you don't really get anything like that because since it's the mod, it's kind of hard to implement that because even in squad, you can't really customize how your guy looks because the whole thing of squad is if you could customize how your guy look, it'd be kind of hard to tell you apart because you already, when you're like, let's put it this way, if you're fighting the Russians and you're the Americans are normally like tan, like, color, and the Russians are like a slight olive green.
Right. It's very hard to tell at a distance.
Yeah, because it's not like a lot of other games where like you'd always have the nameplate over. It's only if you aim at someone for a couple seconds that their blue nameplate will pop up, and then you'll be like, okay, that's a friendly. If it's an enemy, no nameplate pops up, so you know to just shoot them. Because the biggest thing with the Clone Wars is, I mean, I could see them maybe adding it. I just don't know how they'd implement it because there's not like a character customization section inside of the game's UI.
Right.
So they'd have to literally make a whole new UI.
But if you pick a squad leader, does the squad leader stand out appearance-wise? Like, I know in the droids, Clone Wars, they have that big yellow circle on them to denote, like, rank. Is that a thing?
Yeah, so depending on the different class you are, it does change. For the droids, it's actually those, like, ones that you only started seeing inside the Clone Wars series. They're, like, weird, like, barrel-shaped. Their bodies are, like, a barrel shape, and their head's kind of, like, that shape. It's, like, those guys. Like, that's what the squad lead looks like. It's, like, one of those weird ones that have, like, the round body, and then, like, I don't know, they kind of just look like a fat robot, to put it simply. So they look like...
The missions are, like, take and hold with the points. They never give you, like, a search and destroy kind of, like, mission type, do they?
Not in the Galactic Detention mod, as far as I can tell. They don't have that, It's pretty much just like either you take the points or you're either invasion or AAS. AAS is like advanced and secure kind of. So it's like all the points are available for everyone except for your main base point. And then you just kind of take as many points as you can in the order that they're in. In invasion, it's one team defends all the points while the other one attacks. So those are pretty much the two game modes you have for that.
Okay.
It's pretty straightforward, but it's more like the all, like, because like when you have the invasion, one team would probably be extremely protected because you can build stuff. You can build like defenses, you can build guns, you can pay anti-air guns, you can build like a shield generator that creates a shield over an area, at least in the Star Wars version. Like the Star Wars mod, you can do that. And they also have like, you have to build spawn points. Like they're like these little buildings that you spawn in. There's also like squad rallies, which a squad leader can place where your squad can spawn in it for a little bit. So there's a lot going on in it. So it's like, it adds plenty of like tactical and strategic like input. Cause like you could have one base up on top of the mountain overlooking the point while there's a squad sitting in the point waiting for them to come attack it.
Right. Absolutely. So when all this stuff that your clan is doing, is it just like regular meetups? Do you guys like have events? Do you guys have tryouts? Like, what is the process of joining said organization or organization that's similar to in this field? And then what is the benefit of being part of a bigger group?
So my biggest thing was, so the server I plan is owned by the Unnamed, which is the org that I'm currently trying to be involved with. It was mostly that I started playing on their server on Squad, and then I saw that you could get, I'd assume you could get whitelisted. It was like, had it in the description like most servers do, like when you play like any server-based game, like DayZ, Rust, etc., you can pay to get whitelisted. It was only like $5, I went and got whitelisted, then I joined their Discord, and everything there seemed pretty cool. And then I saw that they had, like you could join the organization inside of Star Citizen, or inside for Squad, so you could be more involved with everyone, and I was like, okay, that sounds cool, because I'm starting to do Star Citizen, and I want to have groups of people to play with. Everyone is really nice, everyone's really cool, they are very helpful with questions or anything like that, and they do, apparently, because they're like the ones who own that specific Galactic Mod, Galactic Condition server. There's multiple other ones that are owned by different orgs, or just like ran by random people and stuff like that. Just like any, most server-based games, anyone can run the server, as long as you can pay to keep the server up. Or seed it and stuff like that.
Right.
So they did just have something yesterday. I kind of missed it because I thought it was going to be for longer than just the one game, but apparently they had some Lego thing they had where, like, it made the map was like Lego, and it was like one of, like, a Lego version of one of the ships,
like Lego Star Wars, or like just Lego in general. Okay,
like Lego Star Wars. Like, it was like you got on like a Venator or something, like one of the command ships, and it was just fighting inside there, but it was made of Legos.
That's,
I don't know,
actually,
if all the characters are Legos. I don't know, because I didn't get into it. I just know at least the ship that you were fighting inside of was made of Legos.
That's actually pretty sick.
Yeah, I was like, that's dope. I like Legos. That's freaking sweet. Right, I wish I had jumped into that.
So, well, you were talking a little bit about Star Citizen. Now, that's a game that I hear about a lot in passing. Now, I have to know, how hard would you say the bar is for somebody to, like, get into Star Citizen and learn the ropes? Would you say it's incredibly difficult? Would you say it's incredibly easy? What is your take on being new in Star Citizen?
Being new in Star Citizen, I'll compare it to Tarkov. It's just like if you had played Tarkov and had nobody to help you do things. If you didn't watch any YouTube videos or anything like that, you're about where you're starting at with Tarkov. So it's that level of incline, just because, like, a lot of the systems in the game are not easily... Now, I will say, in the most recent update, they did just release a tutorial with the game. I did not do it because I kind of somewhat know what I'm doing.
Something
and know how to fly
Tarkov the ship. Definitely still lacks.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't have a tutorial at all. You have to literally go Google things, and that's it. So, like, it's like that. But I don't, like I said, they just had a tutorial in this update that happened like 4 days ago. So I don't know what the tutorial entails or how good it is or anything like that. I'm not sure. I'll probably have to check it out like next time they wipe, because they wipe like on a weekly to bi-weekly basis. It's not hard to take like time to learn things, but it's definitely a game that you will do a lot better with if you have people who know what they're doing and that you're playing with them. Because that's kind of how I was last night, because I'm still somewhat new to the game. There's a lot of, like, work loops or game loops, because, I mean, there's so much stuff that you can go mine. Now they've added salvage, which is what I was doing last night. I literally went in to, like... So you can buy salvage contracts, which will, like, just have a ship floating in space. You just fly up to it, and you, like, use your salvage laser or whatever it is, and you salvage the hull of the ship. But also, if you're with a group, they can go to, like, a PvE, like, combat zone, or even, like, a PvP combat zone, go fight some ships. And with the whole persistent universe they have now with the recent update that was about a month ago, a month and a half ago, those ships will stay there. So I can jump in after them with a salvage ship and salvage the ships they just fought. And it won't cost me anything, or I won't have to pay, like, for the salvage claim or contract, because those ships are just floating there, and
right.
you just salvage them. It's just crazy, like what they're doing with the game. Because, like, I've been following this. I bought the game a long time ago, and when I used to play Eve, it was Star Citizen was a joke. It was literally made like a full on joke that people made fun of inside of Eve Online, because it wasn't a thing. It was like people were giving this guy millions of dollars, and one of the like things you could kickstart or pre-order or whatever, it was literally like if you paid $100,000 or something, or some, it was some extremely high amount of money, you could go on him with him on his yacht. And I'm like,
what? You don't want to go on the yacht?
Like, but how is this man able to buy a yacht when this game ain't made yet?
That's a good
question.
So, like,
it was more like people were thinking of this game, but now it's like seeing what it has become. Like, the combat's really good. The only downside, like, everything's really good, honestly. Like, everything works really good. The mining's really cool how it works. Like, you mine the rock, and it'll break into smaller parts, and you mine the smaller parts and absorb it. And with everything being persistent, someone could walk up to my ship while I'm salvaging something and literally open up the back and just...
Take everything.
Take stuff out of it. Yeah, just take everything. Or they could soft death, which is, like, you halfway destroy a ship or make it where their power unit shuts down, etc., so they can't move. And then you could just steal the stuff on the ship. So pirating is, like, now an actual legitimate thing. And they just also added where you can take the modules off ships. So you can, like, use a tractor beam that's handheld. There's just so much stuff they're doing. It's unfathomable.
The ability to troll on that game is unlimited currently. It's unstopped trolling.
Yeah, it's for sure. Like, someone could literally just fly in, blow you up, and not even take anything. Just because they want to shoot something. Like, It's a full PvP game. It's 100% PvP, except for in Armistice Zones, which is, like, literally, you'll know when you fly into them. It's, like, cities and stuff. You can't use your weapons.
It's like going to an inn in, like, World of Warcraft. It's like, yep, this is a safe spot.
Yeah, exactly. And, like I said, it's on Tarkov's level. I mean, like, if you watch some videos on it, of course, you're going to pick up what's going on. It's just like, the more you do something, the more you'll know. Just, like, there's a thing called 30 King, which is, like, where the server you're in literally just dies and doesn't work anymore. And pretty much the game closes, and you're just like, okay, well, that sucks. No matter what, and it depends on if they have it instilled or not. It's called 30K protection. Sometimes if you have a full load of cargo and it 30K, you'll lose everything. All the money that you invested in that cargo is just gone because there's no 30K protection active.
That sounds horrible.
They update. Yeah, and I mean, that's a big thing, because the game is, like, alpha. It's literally an alpha, so you should, like, everything wipes every 2 or 3 weeks. Like, you could have all your money or all your gear wiped and everything like that, so it's mostly you're just playing the game to experience what they have in it.
Right.
And what they have in on it, the stuff that does work in the game, works beautifully, and with such depth and enjoyment that it just makes the game really enjoyable. It's just, you have to get past that, like, whole... Oh, well, the game occasionally crashes, the servers kind of lag super hard occasionally.
Right.
You just kind of have to know when that's starting to happen, then you switch servers.
You have to get used to the abuse, too, of, like, losing things. But if you're coming from a Tarkov experience, losing thing is just a fucking, you know, par for the course. And especially if you're a server that's wiping in 2 weeks, it's just like, yeah, I'm going to have lose everything in, like, what, 14 days anyway, so who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly. It's not like Tarkov where... And also, I mean, there's not, like... It's kind of hard to make hacks or anything for something that level. So it's like, you don't run into stuff like that. It's just like, you might have a PvP organization that's coincidentally on the server you're on that might just be going around pirating everyone.
Right. But at least they're doing it legitimately. At least they're doing it. They're being legal trolls, you know. They're being trolls the way God intended.
Yeah, within the game's parameters.
Not like, you know, wall hacking, flying, Nikita, get fucked trolls that you see on Tarkov.
Yeah, it's like, if I was better equipped, I might be able to combat this. It's like, that's a good thing about being an org. Like, I was in a server yesterday, because there's 100 people in a server. 13 of the people were me and these other people, and they were, like, destroying ships. I was just salvaging behind them, because I'd done PvE the night before, so I was like, I'm going to try my salvage ship. I'm going to do some salvage tonight.
Right, so you're just picking really cool. out the corpses. You're just vulturing all these dead ships.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, in the ship is called a vulture, so I'm literally vulturing the ships.
That was unplanned. I actually don't know shit about Star Citizen, so that actually makes me sound more knowledgeable than I am. I'll take that. I'll take any dub we can here at the comms.
Yeah, I mean, it's really cool. It's like, it's definitely, if someone's interested in getting into it, I definitely suggest doing it with someone that, like, try and find a homie who has played it at least a little bit, or could get you connected with people playing, or go watch some YouTube videos. Like, that's what I did. Like, there's a lot of systems in there, like flying system stuff. Like, if you haven't played a flying space game, like Elite Dangerous or something similar to
it. Do you use a joystick, or is it all mouse and keyboard?
I use mouse and keyboard. Plenty of people do use joysticks. I have a joystick. I'm used to playing all these games with mouse and keyboard, so I just use a mouse and keyboard. It, like, maybe at some point when I have a bigger desk or, like, a separate spot that I can actually have it out all the time, because it's a lot. It's a lot of, like, you have to move it, like,
plus with a joystick,
I don't want to move my keyboard 6 inches and then place it on my desk. That's just too much.
You would have to switch between your joystick and keyboard in between, like, up flying, up, like, I'm not longer flying.
That's the other thing for me. It's like constantly switching. Like, and for me, I can fly with mouse keyboard really well, because I played up until this recent whole weird situation with War Thunder's economy and them being boycotted and stuff like that.
And people leaking classified documents on there to win fucking arguments on War Thunder Reddits and shit, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, this tank technically does this.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just used to using mouse and keyboard for,
so,
like,
you
flying
bring up
and all
a very interesting topic of conversation. So War Thunder has had people leak actual government classified documents when it comes to ships. And then there was this recent guy on Minecraft who got caught in his server. He was a Air National Guard guy who was leaking Ukraine documents to, like, win arguments. And his name was Jack the Dripper on there. And, like, the CNN and all them ran with it saying, he's dripping information. He's like, no, he's, like, actually talking about how he looks. Like, it has nothing to do with that. So my question to you is, have you ever encountered anybody in the gaming sphere who has said some questionable shit like that? You're like, is this guy, like, for real? Like, have you encountered something weird like that?
So I haven't personally had anything on that level. Nothing like actually dropping documents. I mean, of course, you, like, run into plenty of people saying a bunch of weird stuff.
Oh,
I mean, between DayZ, Rust, especially old school Rust, because I played Rust when it first came out, and you had some
the
like,
rustiest,
weird people on there.
The crustiest of Rust.
Yeah, literally, like when the game looked like it was a PS1 game, and all the monsters and units literally just red, like they were shaped like the animals they were supposed to be. They were literally, but their texture was just like red and brown, burnt skin or something. So it looked like ass. I haven't had anything like those documents. I mean, I had some weird people like talking about how they. Like, they play this game called War of Rights, and it's like
oh,
a Civil
the Civil
War game.
War game. Yeah, I've played War of Rights.
I mean, it's a cool game, but like when your reasoning for playing the game is specifically because you want to reenact the Civil War because you believe in the thought processes of whatever side you're on.
That's
I'm like,
when it gets a little weird.
Yeah, it gets a little weird. I'm like, sir, like. See, it's okay to play the game, but you don't have to be in the game.
Oh, yeah, like, that's a game I can never play on the stream, because there's always a few people who, yes. like, you know, say shit that's just like, what are you saying? Why on earth would you say that? That's why
yeah,
when
exactly.
I play that game, I usually play, like, 2 in the morning, because that's when Australians get on, and the Australians actually play the game to play the game, because, it's you know, it's not their history. They don't give a shit. They're not, like, invested in it. Whereas you get some people who are just, like, reliving some weird narrative that never existed. It's
yeah,
just
exactly.
romanticized
like,
in their head. It's just like, bro, no.
Yeah, like if you're romanticizing the Civil War, then man, I don't know what's going on. Because man, that was like 200 years ago. Like, that's been done. Done,
exactly.
It's real done. Like, real
doesn't
done.
Get much more done.
Yeah, like, bro, we have like a, like, 35 or so more states in our country now. Like, we have, like, you know, the whole...
You know, give
like,
or take, who's counting?
Yeah, like, who's counting how many states we've taken since that happened?
We get off on more than ankle pictures when we look at a force hole.
Exactly. I'm like, sir, I can look at a woman without having to marry her instantly.
Right? Take, put that in your pipe and smoke it. General Lee.
Yeah, I mean, I can enjoy a musket handling game because I play Holdfast, and Holdfast is literally like that, except it's like the French Revolution or so. It's a bunch of European.
Yeah, line combat.
Yeah, as long as it like it's just line combat. I will say, War of Rights graphics definitely look way better, but apparently they only have one map, and Holdfast has like a bunch of maps, and they actually apparently just came out with an update. That has like some World War One or World War Two maps or something, so like you get to use some of those
that's
guns.
That's why
still,
I
like,
love
Mountain
Blade, because Mountain Blade had the Napoleonic Wars one where you could like actually do that kind of combat with the Mountain Blade system, and like there is no name like editor. So my name, like my in-game name, I picked like the most ridiculous. Like I was Wet Shits. I was a British soldier named Wet Shits, and I was just going around spandetting people. It was great.
Yeah, Mountain Blade has taken a heavy chunk of life.
Mountain Blade 2 is just a depressing down point that I don't think I'm ever going to fully forgive. Because Mountain Blade 1 is so good. Mountain Blade Bannerlord 2. I like the original Mountain Blade way more than Bannerlord 2.
I actually like them both, but I also haven't gone super far into Bannerlord just because it's... I can't remember if it actually is full release or not. I just, like...
It's
full
release.
A lot of other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many games out there. It's hard to keep them all under, especially because you're, like, more into the FPS genre, where it's like, yeah, you could be like, oh, you could get an arrow, you could be a third-person shooter. It's like, yeah, I guess. But the mods for Mountain Blade make the game so fun. Like, there's one where you can start as a soldier, and you can, like, pick a lord to, like, you know, work for, and you can, like, work your ways up in the ranks, and you have, like, no say in, like, what you do tactically. You're just there. So even if you're, like, commander's an idiot, you're just like, I'm fucked. I'm gonna die. This guy's an idiot. It's like the actual real-life, like, soldier POV.
Yeah, and that was the best part. I mean, honestly, the game, I think the game went 1.0 recently, so maybe they'll start coming out with some mods like that. Just like they have that, I don't know if you've seen it, or, because I know Clean was playing it for a bit, and I tried it out. They have, like, that multiplayer Mountain Blade Bannerlord mod that they made, like, over a year ago before the game was remotely finished.
I have not
it's
seen
really
that.
Cool.
What I have seen is I've seen the new Golem things, and that just is a fucking fever dream. It's so bad they've already put out an apology.
Yeah, apparently it's just because it's, like, really boring, is just stealthy, which, I mean, like, I don't know what people were expecting. Like, you made a Lord of the Rings game with a sword. When the fuck does Golem use a sword?
Yeah, Golem's not Rambo. Like, did you guys, he beats like, people
bro,
with a rock.
And
he sings about
what were you
fish.
Expecting from him? What, like, were you expecting more? He's a creepy weirdo who says my precious a lot and says weird euphemisms and then creeps around everywhere and then, like, sneakily attacks people. Like, it was going to be a sneak game, obviously.
Did you see the memes where people were putting out when he's, like, confronted by an orc? It's like, reason, talk to, and then somebody put in, give head. It's like, oh, God, no. No, Golem, don't do it.
Yeah, but the Bannerlord, like, multiplayer thing's really cool because it's, like, even more in-depth than the thing you were talking about. Like, you literally, I mean, I can't remember exactly how, like, the recruiting works. I think the recruiting works the same way, but, like, everyone you see running around the map is, I mean, there is bandits and stuff, but most of the people you see running around are other players, and you can fight them and stuff like that. But, like, this game, the starting, I don't know if it's changed since then, because that was a year ago when I played it, but you start, and you have no money. So you have to go over to this field that's near the city you're in, and just start,
just start jacking people off until you can get money.
Yeah, pretty much. You just start planting crops, and then you have to, like, water the crops, and then you sow the crops. And then, like, you don't pick up the crops. They get turned in, but, like, you'll get a percentage of the money based off the work you do, not off the...
So, like, the landlord does all that. Then he comes by and he prima noctos your wife, and then you do the Braveheart thing, and then you become a guy.
Yeah, then you hold the line, and it's just... It's really weird, but it's really cool because, like, seeing as that's how the work works, there's a landlord guy, like, an NPC, so you just kind of, like, if you have, like, 6 or 7 people, it's, like, as long as everyone's doing the work in a proper order, instead of being, like, oh, I'm going to hold this patch, and I'm only going to work on this patch. It's, like, no, everyone worked the whole field. Someone sow it, someone water it, and someone, like, cut the crops down, because, like, when you go to water it, you have to, like, literally take a jar, like a big jug, like a vase, and walk over to the stream and fill it with water and run all the way back. So you need, like, dedicated people to do that.
You need people to do this.
Dedicated people planting and dedicated people harvesting.
When I hear this, all I just think of the peons from Warcraft, the work, work.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what it is. And it's really, it's like, you do that, but once you get over that hump, you're good. You can just go right around and, like, actually do things. It's just you literally have to get enough money to buy swords and shit.
That game would fuck if they made that game Peon Simulator for, like, an RTS. Oh, my God, they're attacking. And you have to, like, take up arms. And you, like, barely do any damage.
I feel like they might have a game similar to that.
I mean, if they don't, they should.
They might have something along those lines. Well, I mean... Okay, so this game called that's, like, recently announced, and I haven't gotten to play it because it's in, like, super alpha or pre-alpha. It's called Anvil Empires, and it's made by the same people who made this game, Foxhole, which is, like,
Foxhole.
Every person has a job. Every single person is there. Yeah, if you know what Foxhole is, it's literally that except medieval. Like, so every person in there will be doing something. So,
what's
like,
this
I
game
was watching
called?
Some videos on the rating.
What's
this
game called?
Anvil Empires.
Anvil Empires. I'm going to buy this game because I love Foxhole and I suck at it because I got into it too late and everyone like knows their job so fully. They're like, hey guys, what do I do? Like, shut up. And you're like, oh God, okay.
Yeah, and that's like, I mean, Anvil Empires is probably going to be a little bit like that at the beginning because it's in pre-alpha. So like, you have to get accepted to play it right now. But like, once it fully releases, of course, it'll be in Foxhole. But it's like medieval. Like, you have people who are going to have to farm. You're going to have people, because Foxhole is a little different, because I think all that, like, you don't have to worry about the food part, I don't think. I think you have to craft food. I don't know. I didn't play that part.
It might be, because in Foxhole, you have to worry about oil and, like, supplies like that. So maybe I can
I mean, you do definitely have to worry about those, but, like, Foxhole, you have to, I mean, Animal Empire, you have to, like, actually eat. So, like, you have to have, like, someone actually farm. You have to set up, like, farming villages specifically to supply your forts and stuff. So someone will always have to be farming food instead of fighting anything. So, like, that'll be their main job. And you can also fish. So, like, I'm in the Discord for it, and apparently there's this huge meme around bread. Like, praise the bread, and it's like, the bread is holy because the only food is bread.
The bread lord.
Or fish. Yeah, pretty much you can be a bread lord because it's just, like... Like, that's the only food you have. And if you don't have food, you just die. So, like, that is, like, the key to living. But it looked really cool.
And then you could be like an arms dealer. You could sell bread to both sides and play both sides and then start your own faction. That's how fucking Wonder Bread started. I'm just making shit up. I don't know.
I was like, what? This man's about to drop me some lore on Wonder Bread?
Once you went silent, I was like, oh, he thinks I'm being serious. I gotta pull it back. Yeah, like, that D Wonder Bread lore. That's why people come to Castle Comms. They come for the guest. They stick around for the Wonder Bread lore.
Yeah. Man's over here dropping like those secret war Wonder Bread documents on his podcast.
Right. You know, I have to one up War Thunder and fucking Minecraft dropping government documents. I gotta tell you guys the true story of Wonder Bread. Oh my God. Anyway, Chuckinator, we're getting close to our time constraint. So now is your time to say whatever it is you would like to say, whether it is to thank somebody, whether it is to talk about your community, your org, push an event, whether you have like a big server thing, a sponsor. Now is your turn to say whatever it is you would like to say. The floor is yours.
All right. I want to thank you for having me on your podcast. I appreciate your time. I want to thank everyone who just comes out to the channel, likes my videos, subscribes, everything. Everyone in the stock community, I thank you for being so supportive and regularly liking my stuff whenever I post it and being active. I thank you all for being there. I love making videos. I just love doing content creation because it's just such a fun thing to do. It's great to just see that people enjoy the things that you're enjoying.
And where's the best place for people to find your stuff?
I mostly do YouTube. It's at The Chuckinator on YouTube. So that's T-H-E-C-H-U-C-A-N-A-T-O-R. I will be coming with a lot more Starship Troopers extermination content and a lot more Stalker along with Star Citizen stuff coming soon. And once the wipe happens, we will be playing a lot of Tarkov. So anyone wants to play Tarkov, I'm always down to play Tarkov because I'm at the point where if I die to someone else's issues, I'm just like, oh, I don't care. So if you don't know how to play the game, I'll show you how to play the game. And go check out Galactic Contingent on Squad. If you have Squad, go check out the unnamed Galactic Contingent servers, and you'll have a Star Wars experience unlike any other. I'm literally addicted to playing it now. I think about it regularly over all my other games because I just love Star Wars so much. Like, I love Star Wars.
And for your video release, do you try to put out, like, a video a week, a video a month? Like, what's your normal release schedule, or what's your goal for a release schedule moving forward?
I release at least a video every weekend. I stream every single Sunday, time different. The time changes depending on if I end up with some stuff I have to do in the middle of the day or stuff. I stream Stalker Gamma or Stalker of some kind. So that's what I do every Sunday. I have a video come out every Sunday, and I have shorts through the week normally. It's just depends on what kind of stuff I get available or what kind of clips I get or how the gameplay goes or if I'm super busy or not.
Totally.
But that's normally the general gist.
And we're going to put the links for the description of the episode down. So if you want to go check out Chuckinator, scroll down just a little bit, click the link, give the guy a follow, go watch some videos. They're pretty fucking funny. Like, it's funny because you'll get like a video that's like, holy shit, the Hulk PC's shaking from this bombardment, to like funny Tarkov commentary of like, fuck around, find out, as I alluded to at the beginning of the interview. So if you're looking for a wide variety of stuff, go check out Chuckinator. Other than that, I'm the 8-Bit Nobody. This is Castle Comms, where the guests are top tier and the host is mid. And why don't you go outside and smoke and or touch some grass? And we'll catch you next time on the comms.